7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Tonight's devotion is entitled Noah's Faith. And there are four thoughts taken from verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. A God-fearer's faith. A faith backed by action. A salvific faith. A faith rewarded. It is interesting the Chinese character for ship, the word chuan, consists of an ark, which is a Chinese character zhou, with 8 mouths, ba kou. It fits exactly the Genesis account of the global flood during the days of Noah, where Noah and his wife, his 3 sons and their wives, 8 members of Noah's family on board the ark were saved from the global deluge that destroyed all the living on earth at that time. God preserves the truths of his judgment in the ancient record of the Chinese language as a testimony, I believe, to the Chinese people, to the veracity of the Bible. Indeed, the ark was the vessel that delivered Noah's family from the judgment. And we applaud the faith of Noah. He took heed to God's warning and obediently constructed a vessel that saved his family. The ark was a 3-story vessel. It's interesting that our building here is built like the ark. ...300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high, 135 meter by 22.5 meter by 13.5 meter. It has a roof that is 1 cubit of the top, a window, and a door at the side. And there is 1 roof opening for light and air intake. When I was visiting Hong Kong 2 years ago, there was a place where they built artifact of the ark, and we had the opportunity to go and see and try to understand a little bit more of this biblical account. We learn from Noah's life the lesson of faith. The lesson of faith to take God at his word and to act upon it according to his instructions. Noah's faith was an obedient faith, and a faith that was undergirded with precise action according to God's instructions. Genesis 6:22 says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And Genesis 7, verse 1, the Lord said unto Noah, "Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And he says to bring the clean beast of 7, the fowls by 7, and then He says, I have made, or I will to destroy all the living from the face of the earth. Well, Noah followed the instruction of God, exactly what God commanded him to do. What was the motivation for Noah's obedience and submission to God's will? Our text tells us that Noah was moved with fear. That's the first thought in verse 7a. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. Noah was a man who feared God, who feared God. There is a holy reverence, respect, and honor that he accorded to God's word that distinguished him from his generation. The people in his generation took lightly the warning of God that he's going to destroy the world with a global flood. But Noah took God's word seriously. He was willing to obey God's word and act upon it. There was yet no rain, no flood ever seen on earth at that time. It was unimaginable that the heavens were open and water would pour out of heaven to overflow the earth and destroying it. Psalm 25 verse 14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them his promise. This was what God did to show Noah what he's about to do. We have been studying the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs chapter 2 verse 4 says, if thou searchest for wisdom as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. What did Noah found in his time? Well, he found out that God is going to destroy the earth, and that no living thing is going to survive. But God has a solution. That there must be an ark, a boat that is to be built so as to be able to house the living when the flood would overwhelm the earth. And so this was the understanding that God gave to Noah. The Bible says he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler, he's a shield to them that walk upright. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the ways of his saints. Indeed, God was about to judge the earth because the hearts of men at that time were evil continually. And in that judgment, God also knew that there were those who followed him, and he prepared a way to protect them. He prepared a way so that they would not perish. Bible says he keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thy heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Now, this was what we learned this week. And we are studying the book of Proverbs. God gives to us the understanding concerning what he's going to do, and that knowledge gives to us the wisdom to act, to prepare rightly. And you know, the ark took more than 100 years to build. It's not a small structure. And it's interesting that, you know, men since then learn how to build a seaworthy vessel by imitating the dimensions that God gave to Noah, that build the ark that causes the a vessel that would float amidst a global deluge in the sea. So God revealed to Noah the judgment to come. God visited Noah with disgrace. It was God who came to Noah, and it's interesting that, you know, we don't go and seek God, but God came and seek us. Our dear brother who is here with us, God sought you through a track we have given to you. And that we are here together so that we may understand the will of God in the study of God's Word. What amazing grace. God condescending to reveal Himself to Noah, to make known His plans to Noah. God was gracious to Noah. Among the countless men living on earth at that time, in the pre-flood world, Noah was special in the eyes of God. The Bible says that he found grace in the eyes of God. While the world was living in its wickedness, Noah, God gave him grace to believe, and God gave him grace to have a heart that is sanctified to be walking with God. And so Noah was warned of God, the Bible tells us, verse 70. God warned him concerning the judgment to come. And God's fear came upon Noah. This is the first thought. His faith was undergirded by the fear of God, by a deep reverence for the person and the purpose of God. Psalm 33 verse 8 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." If this verse in Psalm 33 verse 8 was fulfilled, then you have, you know, the whole world crowding into the ark. But it was not like that. They all didn't want the ark. They all mocked while Noah built the ark. They saw the ark being built, and they said, "What rain, what flood, what judgment." Psalm 103 verse 6, 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." God would, by the ark, preserve Noah and his posterity. So the first thought is this, that Noah was a God-fearer. His faith was undergirded by the fear of God. And secondly, Noah's faith was an active faith. It was a faith that is backed by action. James says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Faith is always backed by action. And so what did Noah do? Verse 7b says, he prepared an ark. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house. What was Noah's response when God told him of the judgment to come? Noah believed God. This was a man who had encountered God and knew that God meant every word he said and said every word he meant. And this is the kind of an attitude we ought to have also. To take God at his word. To believe that he is God. And to act upon it. And so, that fear in Noah's heart was not a negative emotion, but it was a wake-up call, like a bell that strikes right in front of you, causing you to be stirred up into life. That was what happened to him. He was stirred up to life to flee into the safety of God. Because danger signs were being sounded out. The siren was being sounded out by God. Judgment is coming. It was a signal to provoke his soul to watchfulness and to sobriety, to lifelong action. 100 years he built the ark. There was no rain. And he received all the laughing and the mocking from the people who was wondering, what is he doing with his life? Why is he wasting his time? Well, no one knew what he was doing. He was living by faith, and his faith was backed by action. So James says in verse 14 of chapter 2, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he has faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, any one of you say unto him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Noah was moved with fear because he saw wickedness in the world all around him. And God revealed to him concerning the depraved state of mankind. And he knew that this was not the way to go. And he knew that judgment will surely come. And he prepared and he put his house in order. So this was how Noah responded to God's warning of the judgment to come. And thirdly, this call to action was result in the saving of his house. The Bible says that not only was Noah and his family saved, but by his action of building the ark, it was an act that pronounces the judgment to the world. All who sees it and don't believe that God will judge the earth with a global flood will perish without the ark. But all who were believed and would enter into the ark before the rain came, pitter patter, and the rain didn't stop. 40 days and 40 nights until the entire world was engulfed with water. The Bible says that Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. The word condemn means to judge against, to judge worthy of punishment. And so Noah, by his submission to God, set himself as an example against the evil and wickedness in his generation. He refused God's truth. His very obedience to God in the building of the ark and the preparing of his family was a judgment against the mockers and scoffers who by their unbelief perished when God sent the flood, by his walk, Noah was a witness against the world. And this was his responsible response to the privilege that God gave to him, to the knowledge that God gave to him. He had that fear of God in his heart, and that fear moved him to action, and that saved him as he witnessed a confession for God to the world. Noah condemned the world. God condemned the world through Noah's preparation. He built the ark. He prepared his family. He preached to the world. Do you know how long Noah preached? More than 100 years. We've been preaching here for the last 4 years. Noah preached 100 years. And, you know, we said, just like that, we have some messages that are prepared, recorded. He preached for 100 years, and what did he preach about? One message. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. How can the people hear of the judgment and yet refuse the call of God, refuse the grace of God? It's so sad, isn't it? Why is it that there are those who choose to go their own way, refuse to heed the warning of Scripture? And so we said that Noah's faith was a God-fearous faith. His faith was a faith that is undergirded and backed by action, solid action. He gave his life to follow God's instructions to the jot and to the tittle. And it saved his family. And it witnessed a confession to the world, that the world, by Noah's witness, were judged. And finally, it was a faith that was rewarded. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah received a righteous man's reward. Only Noah passed from the old world to the new world. All who believed did not perish in the global cleansing that God meted out upon all mankind. But the Bible tells us that there is more to come. Be warned of another global flood of God's judgment that is coming. This next judgment is to be by fire. And 2 Peter 3 verse 10 to 13 says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." The first judgment was by water. the coming judgment by fire. And it's interesting that the Chinese word for disaster, calamity, 灾, consists of the water on top and the fire below. The first judgment, global flood. The next judgment, global fire. And the Lord tells us the days leading to His coming again, leading to the final judgment, will be a world likened to Noah's time. Matthew 24, Jesus Himself warned us. He says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Dear friends, this is a deception today. As it was in Noah's time, just before God brought all the global flood that destroyed the whole world, God will bring a further judgment to the whole world. And the only escape in a fire is in the ark of Jesus Christ. When Jesus will return and receive the church to glory, the only way out of a global fire is up the rapture of the church. God will receive the church to glory. And our inheritance, dear friends, is in the new heavens and the new earth. The Lord will recreate, and we will reign with Christ as His bride. And the Bible says that God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Dear friends, do you see how similar the situation is to Noah's time as it is today? God has visited us with His gracious offer. God has warned us through His word of things not seen as yet. And we are asked to prepare. How do we prepare ourselves? How to be sure that we are a child of God, that we have repented of our sins, and that we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. On the 26th of December 2004, there was an undersea earthquake of the magnitude of 9.1. It was the third largest earthquake ever recorded. Its epicenter of the west coast of Sumatra. 225,000 people from 11 countries will perish in the tsunami churned waves that would tower 100 feet high. I recall at that time receive a call for Sri Lanka affected, and later on the brother in Christ said, "I was in the beach and somehow the beach was so clear, and we started to run up indeed, we were told that the flood waters came into the church but didn't over flood it, because the church was further inland, but it was flooded nonetheless. He escaped, but 225,000 souls perished at that time. when the judgment comes, it's too late. If you are not in Christ Jesus, and if you were to die today, you will face an eternal separation from God. Eternal death. Judgment in hellfire. If you don't know this truth, I say this to you. If you have not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I say this to you, that we are to receive Him immediately. Because you never know when death will come. Just 2 weeks ago, we had a man who was diagnosed or who had a situation with cancer. Monday, by Thursday, he's gone. But he received the Lord on Monday. So that by Thursday, when God took him home, God saved his soul. He did not perish in eternity. God saved him. God was merciful to him. I remember on the Wednesday, before the Thursday, he would pass on. Three of us from here went and we sang choruses to him. How would we know that he would perish by Thursday morning? In fact, the whole family was expecting him to return home on Thursday morning. But we received a call that morning that Father has gone home. It was devastating for the whole family. They prepared the house, ordered the hospital bed to be put in the house, all ready. But to receive the sad news. But because Father has confessed Jesus Christ, albeit in the last few days of his life, the Bible says that because he believed, he was counted righteous. He confessed with his mouth and believed in his heart that Jesus died and rose again from the dead the third day. And he was saved. God saved him in the nick of time. And so the Lord wants us to realize, to be awakened to the signs of the times, that we are living in the days of Noah, that the ark is being built, and that the ark is in Jesus Christ. If you don't know him, a day will come when the Lord will order that the door be shut. And then the rain will start to fall. And then if you start to cry, it's too late. Death brings to us an eternal separation. Eternal separation. Heaven and hell. Eternal death. And if you know Jesus Christ, he gives to you eternal life. God wants us to see the nearness of his son's return, and that judgment is coming, and that we are to have the faith of Noah. What was the faith of Noah? We said that it was a God-fearous faith. Verse 7-8. It was a faith that was backed by action. It was a salvific faith. It was a faith rewarded. May God give to us such wonderful faith, so needful in these last days. As Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man cometh. Dear friends, let us be ready. May we be prepared when we receive like Noah, a righteous man's work. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee for thy word. Thank thee for thy mercy in giving to us the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, shed his blood to wash away our sins, and 3 days later he rose from the dead to save us from eternal damnation in hellfire. Lord, thank thee for the eternal life that thou givest to us, to all who believes. May our faith be affirmed, and may our faith be one that is backed by action. May we go and tell the people around us that judgment is coming. Only in Jesus Christ there is safety. Only in the ark of Jesus Christ there is safety. Lord, may thou be merciful to save. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name.